Wednesday, July 6, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we bring you a new podcast every single week, and we bring you our own unique take on the world of sports. Now, I realize that you're a very bright person. After all, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, but I also know that there are people out there who may not be quite as smart as you. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to help them. Help the people that are out there that can't find the show. And if they're incapable of finding the show, here's a couple places you can point them. You can tell them to go over to iTunes. You could tell them to go to like Google Play or to Stitcher. You could tell them to go to Podcast Republic if they wanted to download it there or subscribe to it there. Or if you want to download the show, you can head over to rogueintel.com. You can download and listen to it there. And while you're over at Rogue, of course, you want to listen to the Daily Dose while you're there, but you can also listen or download to a couple of other podcasts that are over there that you might want to check out. A few things that might be of interest to you at Rogue Intel. You know, you might want to check out the Powerful Nerdcast with Corey and Christian. They talk things movies, they talk comics, they talk video games, you know, all things that are popular in nerd culture. You might want to check out the Round Trip podcast with Renee and Kim. They discuss travel and stories from the road and that kind of thing. If you enjoy travel, if you're looking at traveling somewhere, you might want to head over and check out the Round Trip podcast. There are a number of podcasts over at rogueintel.com that you're going to be sure you want to check out. Now, if you would like to contact us here at the Daily Dose, and we need to get this stuff out of the way because we have a full show coming up. I got a lot of things we've got to get to today. If you want to get a comment, you want to get a question to us, maybe you need some advice on something, then you need to send me your email. You know, we have an email show coming up. It would be very, very easy for you to get your email onto our show. Just send it to us. Send us an email at dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is dailydose, D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also, of course, hit us on Facebook or Twitter. Same handle, at Daily Dose Sports. You can go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We do put up a few articles there every week, and you can contact us there if you needed to. We also do put a link to the podcast there on the website as well. Now, this week on the show, I am pleased to announce, yes, the second annual Dosey Awards. If you haven't heard the Daily Dose Dosey Awards before, you are in for a treat today as we recognize excellence in athletics. Look, it's just, you know, it's a slow time of year. I told you this. It's a slow time of year. There are a number of shows out there. They're going to not do a show. They're going to have the fill-in host. They're going to do some different things. We're not going to do that. We've got a few things to keep you entertained over the summer when there's not that much going on, but we're going to keep you entertained. And today, we will recognize some excellence in athletics, Daily Dose style. You know, we hand out awards for NFL. We hand out some NBA awards. We hand out some Major League Baseball awards. We've got some college sports. You name it. We are going to get to all of the Daily Dose Dosey Awards today. And you don't want to miss it. Trust me on that one. So let me ask you this, though, before we get going. How was your 4th of July? I hope you enjoyed your 4th of July. I hope you got to spend time with family and friends. I hope you still have all 10 fingers, all 10 toes. I hope you didn't lose anything. It's a little bit of a struggle today, I won't lie. A little bit of a struggle. When you had to get back to work on Tuesday, you might have had a tough time going back. You have that long weekend. And especially because the holiday fell on the Monday. So if you stayed out late at all, you were doing the fireworks thing, you were, you know, hanging out, maybe you were doing the barbecue thing on Monday night, and then you had to come back to work on Tuesday. It's a little bit tough. It's a little bit tough. I won't lie. Did you see some fireworks? Did you light some fireworks off? Can we discuss one thing? And I know it's a sports show. I have to discuss one thing that I continue to see. I saw probably two or three fireworks shows, and it wasn't that I was searching for them. I just kind of happened, and there were fireworks shows. But can we discuss one thing? Can we discuss the taking of pictures or the taking of video of the fireworks? It's got to stop, folks. It has to stop. You have never gone back and looked at those pictures or looked at those videos again, ever. You've never done it. It hasn't happened, and it's not going to anytime soon. It's not like you're going to be sitting there someday and going, you know what? I'm just have a kind of a hankering to see. Remember that one big green firework that one year in 2013? Remember that? Oh, it was a lovely firework. I'm going to go back and see if I can find the picture of that. I wonder if I have, you know, I might have taken some video. I wonder if I have the video. Remember, it was big, it was green, and there was some yellow. It was a wonderful. You've never done that, and you're not going to. Stop taking the video and stop taking the pictures. We don't need it anymore. Like, I literally have seen the same fireworks show every single year since I was a kid, and it goes exactly the same way. Here's how the fireworks show goes. Like, it's not quite dark yet, and you're waiting for it to get dark, and then you kind of, I think it's starting. Was that one? Was that just one from the neighborhood? Was that it's starting? Oh, it's starting. Look, it's starting. Oh, that was a big one. That was a big one. Well, yes, you know, yes, the sound does take longer to get here. Well, you see it. Yes, you see it, but you can't hear it. See how the boom comes later. Yeah, the boom comes later. And yes, well, the sound doesn't travel. Oh, look, there's a pretty one. Oh, look, here's the finale. Oh, that's a wonderful. It is literally the same fireworks show that people saw back in like 12th century China. Nothing has changed. You don't have to record it. There's no need to capture the moment. If you want to record something for like posterity or something, record the people watching it saying the same, you know, saying the same thing, saying the same. Doesn't the sounds travel just a little bit different? Like you can quite hear the boom yet? Record that if you want to record. I saw people taking pictures. I saw people getting out the big camera. They were going to record. You're not going to go back and watch that. Like one night you just, you know, it's November. There's nothing on TV. You're like, you know, we could, well, let's put on the fireworks show from this past year. That was a phenomenal show. You're not doing it. Can we stop? Can we just stop? It's enough already. All right. Now, even though it's a slow time of year, we do have a little bit of sports news that we've got to touch on before we get to our Dosi Awards. And of course, the big, big news is NBA free agency. Players in the NBA are moving around. You know, we talked a little bit last week. It wasn't just that it was guys out there. It was big names that were going to be on the move in NBA free agency. And what we're seeing is not only are we seeing guys on the move, we're seeing huge money thrown around. Now, understand this. Understand this. The reason that you're seeing these giant contracts, the reason that you're seeing this huge money being thrown around in the NBA is the salary cap is going up. These teams have to spend the money. They've got to spend the money. If they don't, they're going to get hit. They're going to actually take a penalty if they don't spend the money. So they have to go out and spend some money because the salary cap did go up. And if they don't spend it, they're going to take a hit. That's why it's just like the perfect storm. If you are a free agent this year, it doesn't matter how good you are. I mean, we just saw what Jeremy Lin get, like $36 million. Really? For like a backup sort of point guard? That's the kind of money that's being thrown around this year. But if these teams don't spend it, then they're going to take a hit. So they've got to do it. Here's the thing, though. So many people look at the free agency spending, and they get mad at the players. They're like, oh, these players taking all this money. Oh, these players. This isn't on the players. Hey, if you're at your job today and you're working at, I don't know, Xfinity Cable or whatever it is, and your boss comes to you and says, hey, we've got to pay you this much money. Well, that's too much money. I don't want that. It's not on you. It's on the person giving you the money. It's not on the players. They're just taking the money. If you're a free agent this year, why wouldn't you take the money? You'd be crazy to not take the money. And so you're seeing a lot of very, very average players getting these huge contracts. It's because they have to. But we've seen some movement. Pau Gasol goes to the Spurs. Doesn't that just make sense? Doesn't that seem like that's just going to be a solid fit? He won't be great. He won't be spectacular, but he'll kind of fit in with what it is that Greg Popovich and the Spurs kind of do. We saw the Memphis Grizzlies. They kept point guard Mike Conley, but they also pick up Chandler Parsons. Granted, he'll, you know, probably get hurt or whatever, but they had a nice little signing there with getting Parsons and able to keep Conley. We saw Joakim Noah go to the Knicks. Talked a little bit last week. You've got Derrick Rose. You've got Joakim Noah. You've got Carmelo Anthony. Hey, it's 2009. It's a pretty good team. That's a playoff team now, though, aren't they? I mean, that feels like it's going to be at least a playoff team with the Knicks. The East is so bad, I would think that they've got to be better than just what else is out there. So Joakim Noah heads over to New York. Joe Johnson went to the Utah Jazz. You might have missed that. He'll go out there and chuck up about 400 shots. Austin Rivers stayed with the Clippers. Now, I don't know how good Austin Rivers is, but I know this. Dad's the coach and the GM. mom sleeps with dad. So again, it's just math. Like it just, sometimes it's not a lot of math. I was told when I started the Daily Dose there wouldn't be math, but some of this is just basic math. Mom tells dad, dad has to re-sign son, give son whatever son needs, and here's the money, and Austin Rivers ends up staying with the Clippers. Boston finally got a player for their front court. We keep talking about Boston needs some front court players, needs a front court player. Maybe they could go make a trade. Maybe they'll draft somebody. No, they finally did get a front court player. They go get Al Horford, which is a nice signing for them. I don't know that he makes them a full-on contender, but he definitely gives them, because remember this past year, they were in the hunt. I mean, they're right there. Al Horford definitely will help Boston. Matt Barnes goes to Sacramento. Can Sacramento just get more dysfunctional? They did get rid of Rajon Rondo, so that helps. But, I mean, Boogie Cousins and Matt Barnes under the same roof, that just, I told you last week, that franchise is an absolute mess. The Los Angeles Lakers make a huge splash. I mean, the Los Angeles Lakers, they go out, you know, they were hoping to get maybe, hey, we're Los Angeles, we're the Lakers. You throw out, you know, the fishing pole and you go get, hey, maybe we'll get LeBron. Dwayne Wade is out there. Kevin Durant is out there. We're the Los Angeles Lakers. So they got Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov. Yeah, that's kind of where you're at, Laker fan. I have good news, Laker fan. Keep your chin up. I have good news for you. According to the kind of rules that he set for himself, Jim Buss is in his final year running this mess. And it certainly doesn't look like they're going to get out of this mess anytime soon. So, Laker fan, keep your head up. Jim Buss will probably be gone soon. But, of course, the big news came out on Monday, July 4th, that Kevin Durant was announcing his independence from Oklahoma. Yes, Kevin Durant is going to the Golden State Warriors. Now, I've heard so many people. I had a few people email me. I had a few people text me. I had a few people send me some tweets. A number of thoughts, of course, on Kevin Durant going to Golden State to join the Warriors. First off, we can't say, well, it was okay for LeBron to do this, you know, when he went to Miami, but it's not okay for KD. A lot of the same people that were saying how it's fine that LeBron, he wanted to win a championship. You can't fault a guy for wanting to win a championship. You can't get on KD if you said that was okay. And you can't say, well, it was bad for LeBron to go join Miami, but if KD wants to do it, I understand it. I'll be honest. I don't like it either way. It's the world we live in, but I look back at the years that the NBA, to me, was at its greatest in like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. You didn't see Magic like, well, we lost to the Celtics last year. I think maybe I'll just go play for Boston. Like, that still bothers me. That part of it still bothers me. It's the world we live in. And it has been happening for a long time. When you look back, I mean, hey, let's be honest. Julius Erving didn't win a title until he got Moses on his team. I mean, that's just a fact. But this, bizarrely, this signing wasn't about money. Hey, Kevin Durant is going to lose, at least in instant contract money, he's going to lose a few million bucks. And when I say a few, I mean like maybe close to 50 million bucks. From Oklahoma City, because if he would have signed a one-year deal next year, he would have been due about $100 million. Now, he signs for about $56 million, so it's not like he's hurting. But this wasn't a money signing. What he's looking at is, I'm hoping to go win a championship. I'm hoping to go cement a legacy. That's what Kevin Durant, that's all this is about. And I it's interesting because I did hear from both sides. I heard from a number of people. Their first reaction to this was that, hey, he's going to go there. That's not going to be a good fit. They don't have enough basketballs. If there's any team in the NBA that can find shots for a guy, I would say it's Golden State. With the offense that they run, I think they can find him shots. Remember those shots that Harrison Barnes kept clanking? What if those were kicking out to KD? That's a pretty good look. I have a feeling that's a pretty good fit. So it's not that they're going to be horrible. I also heard from a number of people, oh, they're going to win all 82 games next year. No, there's going to be a growing curve. There's going to be a process they're going to have to get through. They're going to have to see how all of this fits. I would imagine Kevin Durant looked at the landscape. He looked at the fact that Russell Westbrook can leave Oklahoma City next year. And he said, hey, I've got a chance right now. I'm going to go see if I can get a ring. maybe ends up going back someday. I don't know. But I can go get a ring possibly this next year. They're going to be hands down favorites. And I think he said, well, I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to take the chance. I think he probably helped himself a little bit in that he didn't do the big press conference. He didn't do the big fireworks show. And he didn't do the, how many am I going to win? 8, 9? You know, that whole stupid thing. He probably helped himself a little bit with that. But where is the truth going to be? They're not going to blow through the regular season like they did. I bet they don't even win as many games as they did this year. But they're going to be very, very dangerous if everyone can stay healthy come playoff time. And they are going to be a heavy favorite to win it all. It's not that they're going to set the world on fire immediately. It's going to take a little bit of time. But KD in Golden State, it just feels like a very, very good fit. Hey, we are going to get to our Daily Dose Dosey Awards. It's the second annual Dosey Awards. We are going to be right back and hand out all of those awards. Stick around. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case,
and I'm a princess,
and I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things that we
were working on. I say, boy. Every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon could buy. Look at that. He's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Okay, I would like to formally welcome you to the second annual Daily Dose Award Show. The Dosies. You know, the Dosies served... Wait a second. I feel like we should have some music. Can we put some music on? The Dosies serve to recognize sports achievement and sports-related performances. You know, that might be a little too formal for us. Do we have something else? Because that feels a little formal, at least to me. Maybe something a little more like sports, something more sports-worthy, something like that. The Dosies serve to recognize sports achievement and sports-related performances. During the previous calendar year, they are... Well, you know, I like that, but I feel like... I don't know. It's just a little kind of stuffy for what we do. Like, it's football. Like, it's sports. I get it. But it just feels like it's maybe a little too stuffy for what we do. Try something else. Now, what was I saying? The Dosies serve to recognize sports achievement, sports-related performance. And see, there we go. Now, that I like. That feels like more what we do. It's not so stuffy. This feels right. This feels like what we want. Okay. The Dosies serve to recognize sports achievement, sports-related performance during the previous calendar year. They are simply an award for daily dose-type excellence in the world of sports. You know, the winners are selected through a very, very arduous, very stringent scientific process. These prestigious awards, they're not just handed out haphazardly. The award winners have been selected as a result of both myself, Daily Dose contributors, and a number of Daily Dose voters. And in fact, I'm actually going to be, in today's show, I don't know who the winners are, to be honest. I'll be as surprised as some of you are as we find out who the winners are of today, the second annual Daily Dose Awards, the Dosies. So without further ado, let's get to the Dosey Awards. Our first award that we are going to hand out has got to be for best trash talking. You know, with the passing of Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali was one of those guys, I mean, he could really talk some trash.
I'm a bad man.
We felt like we wanted to hand out the best trash talker of 2015-2016. So in honor of Muhammad Ali, let's take a look at the nominees. First off, Klay Thompson with the Golden State Warriors after winning Game 4. Don't forget that, you know, they won Game 4. They're up 3-1. The Warriors look like they're going to win. And Klay Thompson dropped, well, I guess LeBron James got his feelings hurt. And then, of course, we know what happened. LeBron James came back. They won the next three games and took out the Warriors. But, hey, it's some big-time trash-talking. I mean, at least he had the guts to say it. Our next nominee, Von Miller on Saturday Night Live. You might remember this. After the Denver Broncos had beat the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl, Von Miller appeared on Saturday Night Live on the Weekend Update with host Michael Che, and he introduced Miller and was talking about how Miller had studied some science in college, and he asked him about black holes colliding. And Von Miller said, "These waves are everywhere in the universe, just like I'm everywhere when Cam Newton closes his eyes at night." Not bad. Not bad. Our third nominee. It's got to be Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Vince Williams. Remember the gorilla? The kid fell into the gorilla enclosement, and then they had to fish the kid out. The gorilla didn't do anything to the kid. They fished the kid out, and then they had to shoot the gorilla because, I don't know, they didn't know what else to do with the gorilla that had, I don't know, seen a kid up close. Or, I don't know what it was. But Vince Williams, he tweeted out, "The gorilla was from Cincinnati. I didn't shed one tear. He's in a better place now." I guess. I understand. So best trash talking this year, our winner, the winner for best trash talking, the Dosey Award winner is, well, Tavares Jackson. I don't know if you know, it's Tavares Jackson's wife. Do you have a name for Tavares? I don't know Tavares Jackson's wife's name. Apparently, just a few weeks ago, Tavares Jackson and his wife were having some sort of a dispute, and she pulled a knife on him. Tavares Jackson pulled a gun out and pointed at her and said, "I'll kill you." And his wife said, "You better be accurate, because you ain't accurate on the field." Yes, there's our winner. Definitely best trash talking of the year. Not even close. Tavares Jackson's wife, you win. On to our next category. Best record-breaking performance. The nominees are Steph Curry, most three-pointers in a single season. You know, he had 402 three-pointers. He broke his own record of 286 last year. That makes some sense. College basketball coach, UConn coach Gino Auriemma, won his 11th national basketball title this year, coaching women's college hoops. Pretty amazing. And then Stanford all-purpose running back Christian McCaffrey broke Barry Sanders' 27-year-old record for all-purpose yardage. He racked up 3,496 all-purpose yards. Let's see who our winner is this year. Best record-breaking performance. Winner is Ole Miss offensive lineman Laramie Tunsil. He got his alma mater, Ole Miss, investigated in a matter of seconds at the NFL draft when he discussed the money his mom received from Mississippi coaches while he was there. I guess he set a record. That was fat. I don't know if he should get an award for that, but okay. I understand it. Laramie Tunsil wins best record-breaking performance. Let's look back at the college football moment of the year. One of the biggest moments from college football. You know, college football, it's got the pageantry, it's got the history, it's got the tradition, it's got all those things. It's got the drunk, you know, idiots falling over the bleachers. Michigan State beat Michigan on the final play. Remember, Michigan was up 23-21, just 10 seconds left in the game. All they had to do was punt the ball, let the clock run out. The snap was low. Michigan punter Blake O'Neal bobbled it and then tried to punt it instead of just falling on it. Michigan State picked up the loose ball and ran it all the way back to score the touchdown as the clock ran out. Yeah, I definitely, Michigan's, that's a play that stands out to me. I remember where I was when I saw that play. So definitely, that's a good play to have in there. Next on our list, next nominee for college football moment of the year. Alabama scored 10 points in less than a minute to take the lead from Clemson and win the national championship. You know, Alabama was down 24-21 going into the fourth quarter. They drove down and got a field goal, And then remember they had that little squib kick and they recovered the squib kick. Three plays later, quarterback Jay Coker hits backup tight end O.J. Howard for a 53-yard touchdown. Bama scored 10 points just like that, like so quickly. They went on to win 45-40. And our last nominee for college football moment of the year, Miami beat Duke this year on an illegal kickoff return. Remember back in October, Miami was trailing 27-23. They put together some ridiculous 8 lateral return, and the refs just basically let them do whatever they want because they were afraid to blow their whistles. The crew, the officiating crew, actually got suspended, and the ACC later admitted that there were 4 different errors on the play, but it didn't change the scoreboard. Miami won 30-27. So, I mean, I definitely can see how these three plays are definite nominees. Let's take a look at who our winner is for college football moment of the year. Winner, USC coach Steve Sarkisian being a good example of how drinking make things better. How did that get on our list? Steve Sarkisian, if you don't know, Steve Sarkisian, he had like a drinking problem. He went to a pep rally. Do we have a clip? I don't know. Do we have a clip of Steve Sarkisian? Let's see if we can find that. See if we can find a clip of Steve Sarkisian. Because Sarkisian went to a pep rally, and he started dropping some F-bombs and swearing, and everybody could tell he was drunk. And then before we knew it, they had put him on, you know, leave, and then they had fired him, and then he was suing him. So I don't know if that should win. Do we have Sarkisian? Let's play Steve Sarkisian and what he sounded like at that pep rally.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go!
We're going streaking! Yes! No, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody! Come on! Snoop! Snoop-a-loop! Snoop! No, it's cool. I'm cool. Bring your green hat. Let's go! Come on, everybody! We're going! Here we go!
Well, yeah, I guess when I hear it like that, I understand how that won. It's a little bit different, but I understand that's a pretty good example of college football moment of the year. Steve Sarkisian, a big, big winner. You know, we had a number of big-time players retire this year. Let's take a look back at the retirement moment of the year. Big-time, these weren't small names. I mean, first nominee, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, Los Angeles Lakers player Kobe Bryant, retires after 20 seasons in the NBA. You realize Kobe Bryant was a 5-time NBA champion. He was an 18-time All-Star, and he ranks 3rd all-time in NBA in scoring. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing run that Kobe Bryant went. Remember, he came in just a kid, just an 18-year-old kid. Kobe Bryant retiring, giving it up after all those years. Next on our list, Frank Beamer. You know, head coach Frank Beamer back at Virginia Tech, he rebuilt the Virginia Tech program from nothing. And he guided the Hokies to 22 consecutive winning seasons and 22 straight bowl games. Virginia Tech, you're going to have a drop-off. I don't know that people realize just how good they had it with Frank Beamer, because Virginia Tech wasn't anything before he came in. He made them a power. He made them a powerhouse. Every single year you had to keep an eye on Virginia Tech. So Frank Beamer, I like that. Frank Beamer deserves to be there. Peyton Manning. Quarterback Peyton Manning, of course, spent some time here in Denver, spent some time with the Indianapolis Colts, retired after 18 seasons. He won his 2nd Super Bowl. He is the NFL's all-time leader in passing touchdowns, passing yards, and in quarterback wins. So who could our winner be for retirement moment of the year? Winner is, from the list here, quarterback Johnny Manziel says he's giving up drinking and drugs as of the 1st of July and is going to be sober from now on. I don't know that Johnny Manziel should be, but to be fair, when you're looking at the point from like distilleries, breweries, drug lords, like drug cartels everywhere, Johnny, it's a sad day. It's a sad day. And should you actually live up to that, Johnny, you will be missed. It's the end of the road. End of the road, Johnny. Sad to say, yeah, I guess that's the retirement one of the year. What about biggest upset? You know, the great thing about sports, one of the things that is most fascinating to me every single year about sports is that you have a chance for something completely unexpected. You have a chance to see, you know, David beating Goliath. You have a chance to see the little guy getting past the big team. What is the biggest upset? Biggest upset, Dosey Awards this year. First nominee is Middle Tennessee beats Michigan State in the first round of the NCAA tourney. Yeah, you know, that was a big one. If you don't remember that, when we went back to the National College Basketball Tournament, of course, Michigan State was a team that number of people, a lot of the experts, a lot of the people really, really liked. Michigan State looked like they might have the strongest team. We know the great coach that Tom Izzo is. We know the players they have with Denzel Valentine. Michigan State looked like they could be a kind of a slight favorite even to win the whole thing. First round, Middle Tennessee comes out of nowhere, and I don't know that they were that great. They just had one of those games where everything they did went right. But a great example of when the little guy just gets hot and beats kind of the Goliath. Pretty fun game. That's definitely one of the ones that should be one of our nominees. Next up, biggest upset of the year. Next nominee, Holly Holm knocks out Ronda Rousey. I mean, Ronda Rousey was plowing through people. I don't know who I could even compare. I mean, I guess the easiest comparison is like the Mike Tyson, where we just looked at her and kind of thought for a while, man, she just looks kind of indestructible. Like Ronda Rousey, it wasn't that she was beating people. She was completely decimating them. She was crushing people. People couldn't last 30 seconds with Ronda Rousey. And then suddenly she gets in this fight and Holly Holm kind of hurts her. And we're seeing this is a different look to this fight. She's staggering around. She's not doing the things that she usually does. She's not grappling. She's staying on the outside. And then boom. She gets tagged, she's down, and she's out. Holly Holm beating Ronda Rousey, definitely a big upset this year. Third nominee, the Cleveland Cavaliers beating Golden State. I mean, obviously the Warriors had put together the greatest season in NBA history. They break the 96 Bulls record, winning 73 games this past year. I don't know that Cleveland was a huge underdog. When the series started, I think the way we looked at that was that they had had the path of least resistance, that the Warriors had had a tough road to the finals. But when we look back and say Golden State had won that many games in the regular season, I can understand how Cleveland would be a little bit of an underdog going against the top team in the league. So what is our winner? Biggest upset, Dosey Award winner goes to the city of Cleveland did not burn down their own city after winning their first championship in 52 years. Well, yeah, surprising. I don't know if that's a huge upset. I don't know who put that in the list here and gave us that. But yes, I guess I was a little bit surprised, I'll be honest. I mean, to be fair, Cleveland has had its very own like river and lake catch fire. So when they actually won a championship for the first time in 52 years, yeah, I won't lie, I kind of expected them to do some damage, light a couch on fire, maybe burn down a city block, maybe burn down most of the city, but biggest upset? Should they have won biggest upset? Well, they just did. So I guess there's your answer. Let's move on. Moving on. Best championship performance. You know, when you think of the big games and the pressure, the things that go into those big games, doing it well on the biggest of stages, when everybody's watching, when the world kind of shuts down and just watches everything you do, can you produce at that high of level on the biggest of stages? Let's give our Dosey Award nominees for best championship performance. Who did it all the best? First nominee, Denver Broncos linebacker Von Miller. You know, Super Bowl 50, he wins the MVP. He had 6 tackles, 2.5 sacks, defended a pass, and had 2 forced fumbles that, no question, completely changed the way that game went. So, yes, Von Miller, Denver Broncos versus the Carolina Panthers, definitely big championship performance there. Our second nominee, Kansas City Royals catcher Salvador Perez. You know, he was the first catcher to be named World Series MVP since 1992 as the Royals beat the Mets in the World Series. So, yeah, Perez, I mean, stepped up. I don't know if anybody saw that one coming. And then our third nominee has got to be who else? Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James. You know, he, for the first time in history, he led both teams in every statistical category in the NBA Finals. Pretty impressive. Who had the biggest and the greatest championship performance? I think this one's interesting. I'm looking forward to this one. And our winner is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. The series was over. There were no more heroes left, And he stepped in and found a way to get that series kickstarted and going again. Hey, yeah, I mean, Adam Silver did have a big championship performance. I mean, I understand it. I don't know if he should win. I don't know if he, I mean, there's some pretty good nominees on there. I don't know if Adam Silver should win the award, but yes, Adam Silver had a big, big impact on the championship series. So I do understand it. You know, we don't talk a lot of Major League Baseball here on The Dose because I like to stay conscious. We don't do a lot of Major League Baseball, but it doesn't mean there wasn't a Major League Baseball moment of the year. Granted, I don't know if I saw it. Granted, I don't know that most of America saw it. Granted, I'm positive that no one under 50 saw it. But we do have to look back at the Major League Baseball moment of the year. Few nominees that we have here that just, you know, pretty big moments in Major League Baseball. Our first nominee. You know, Josh Donaldson wasn't on anyone's radar as candidate for the AL MVP until he made one of the defensive plays of the year in June against the Tampa Bay Rays. Blue Jays third baseman tracked a pop fly down the left field line and launched himself into the second row of fans at Tropicana Field and kind of got himself on that MVP radar. Josh Donaldson diving into the stands, definitely one of the moments of the year in Major League Baseball. Our second nominee. Had to be, what else? Game 5 of the American League Division Series. It's going to go down as one of the most memorable in history. The Toronto Blue Jays, you know, tied 3-3 with the Texas Rangers. Seventh inning, Jose Bautista launched a 3-run homer off of Texas Rangers reliever Sam Dyson. And then remember, he celebrated it with the little bat flip, got everyone all fired up. Definitely a memorable, memorable moment. And then finally, our last nominee, Mike Trout. You know, Mike Trout, one of the most exciting players in baseball. His entire 2015 season can just be characterized with one big play. The Los Angeles Angels center fielder saved his best defensive play for a game late in September. He goes up the wall, and if you go back and watch it, just search Mike Trout save, and you'll find him. He goes up the wall, reaches above the fence, robs a home run, and he makes it look so easy. I feel bad for Trout. I wish he could get on a team that was an actual contender, but Mike Trout, definitely a guy that yeah, he should be up for a nomination for Major League Baseball Moment of the Year. Our Dosey Award winner goes to, oh, Jose Bautista wins it. Wait a second. He wins it for getting his jaw dislocated against the Rangers this season? Well, it did make me want to watch baseball. If you didn't see it, he's playing second, is a slide in, takes his legs out. He kind of pushing and shoving, and then dude just gets cracked in the face. We get a full-on baseball brawl. Yeah, I guess. Hey, like I said, it made me actually want to watch baseball. I knew that wasn't going to happen again, but it was a pretty fun play. There's our Major League Baseball moment of the year. Jose Bautista gets a punch in the face. Fight of the year. We move on to, we mixed in a little bit of boxing, a little bit of MMA. We got a few different things. You know, the great thing about fighting, it is the ultimate sport. Whether you're talking about the mixed martial arts or you're talking about boxing or whatever it might be, I mean, two combatants enter. And then, three dirty judges that got paid off by the promoter will leave. But also, one person will leave as the winner. And it's usually a pretty cut and dried, this person won, this person did. Anyways, here are the nominees for Fight of the Year. Dosey Award nominee. First fight, this was the one that came to my mind, I guess, first. Canelo Alvarez versus Amir Khan. This was speed versus power back on May 7th. Khan was actually leading the fight. Everybody kind of had him at 3-2 in the second round. He was ahead. Action-packed fight. A lot of punches being thrown. But then Alvarez did what we kind of knew he was capable of. He had the power. And he caught Khan with an overhead right in the sixth round that like literally left Khan snoring with his eyes open in the middle of the ring. End of the fight over. Khan knocked out. Good fight, though. If it's on again and you see it and they're re-showing it, it's worth your time to watch it. Very entertaining fight, but power definitely caught speed. Canelo versus Amir Khan was a very, very good fight. Our second fight just happened just a few weeks ago, back on June 25th. You know, Showtime actually televised Keith Thurman versus Sean Porter. This was a WBA welterweight championship fight, and they put it on CBS just to try to, you know, get some business because no one watches boxing anymore. But they actually got a great fight. I mean, this was like a blood and guts fight. Both fighters were hurt at times. There was a lot of action. Thurman would hold on for a unanimous decision, but a very, very entertaining fight. One of the better fights that I have seen this year. The third nominee for Fight of the Year, Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit, a welterweight fight on UFC 195. This was back on January 2nd. You know, Lawler was the champ, and Condit was kind of looking for one last chance to become the champ. He's a little bit older, but this fight had nonstop action. It ended up being a split decision for the champion, Lawler. Lawler held on to his title. There were a lot of people disappointed in the decision because Condit did land more punches. He did land more kicks, but Lawler just had more meaningful punches. And so Lawler held on. I see a couple of pretty good fights on there for Fight of the Year. So who wins our Dosi Award for Fight of the Year? Winner is Warriors forward Draymond Green versus Balls. That's not, we're throwing that out. We're not, Draymond Green fighting, first off, Draymond Green didn't fight anyone's balls. Why, I don't know why we're saying that. That's, are you talking about him kicking? Kicking? He plays basketball. Is that what you, punching? Let's move on. That's you know what? I apologize for that. I should have screened that. I should have got that one out. But we're not giving an award to Draymond Green and whatever he did with balls. Let's move on. Greatest defender. Who is the top defender? You know, sometimes the best offense is a good defense. This is not actually one of those times, but sometimes that's the case. Let's take a look at the best defenders. Who could be the best defenders in all of sports? Let's check out our Daily Dose nominees. First nominee has got to be Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt. You know, J.J. Watt battled injuries all season, but he still managed somehow. Remember, he had the partially torn groin, and he had the shoulder problem, and he still had 76 tackles. He led the NFL with 17 and a half sacks. He had 8 passes defended. He forced 3 fumbles and recovered a fumble. J.J. Watt was voted to the Pro Bowl for the 4th time, and he was named NFL Defensive Player of the Year for the 3rd time. He actually got the Texans somehow to the playoffs, and yes, they were beaten soundly, and yes, J.J. does love him some J.J., but hey, no question, J.J. Watt was one of the best defenders in all of sports this year. Our next nominee, got to be San Antonio Spurs guard, forward, whatever you need him to do, Kawhi Leonard. He's the top defensive player in the NBA, and he's doing this. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He's doing this in an era where you can't play defense anymore. Kawhi Leonard can defend the perimeter. He can defend the post when he has to. He averaged almost 7 rebounds per game, nearly 2 steals per game, and nearly a block a game. It's not like he's a huge guy, but the most amazing part to what Kawhi Leonard does is he's doing it while defending the top opposing offensive players. It's not like they send him out there and say, well, take the scrub over. No, he's having to defend your best. And Kawhi Leonard was named a starter on the NBA Western Conference All-Star team. Kawhi Leonard, definitely one of the best defenders. Our third nominee, hey, who else could it be? Another guy that had a huge year. You know, Denver Broncos linebacker Von Miller became the 3rd fastest player in NFL history to record 50 sacks. Let me give you the other 2 guys that did it. Reggie White and Derek Thomas. And of course, in the postseason, Von Miller had 13 tackles. He had 5 sacks, defended 2 passes, forced 2 fumbles, had an interception, and was named the MVP of Super Bowl 50. Definitely, one of the top defenders. So who is our winner for Best Defender? Daily Dose Awards winner goes to Dan Turner. We're going to have to explain this one, aren't we? All right, let me lay this out for you. You're not going to know who Dan Turner is when I tell you. You're going to wish you hadn't known. Dan Turner is the father of former Stanford swimmer Brock Turner. Brock Turner was indicted last January after 2 international students observed him trying to rape an unconscious female. Turner was convicted and was facing up to 14 years in prison, a sentence that he clearly deserved. This wasn't a he said, she said. This was a you were caught in the act said. They caught him. Prosecutors recommended a 6-year sentence for the 20-year-old former All-American rapist. And then Dan Turner, our defender award winner, sent Santa Clara Judge Aaron Persky a letter in which he asked for leniency for his son. Now, I got to read this to you. I have to read this to you. And I'm telling you right now, I hope you're not eating because it's going to make you physically sick. Here is what Dan Turner sent the Santa Clara judge that was supervising this case. First of all, let me say that Brock is absolutely devastated by the events of January 17th and 18th. He would do anything to turn back the hands of time and have that night to do over again. In many one-on-one conversations with Brock since that day, I can tell you that he is truly sorry for what occurred that night and for all the pain and suffering that it has caused for all those involved and impacted. He has expressed true remorse for his actions. As it stands now, Brock's life has been deeply altered forever by those events. He will never be his happy-go-lucky self with that easygoing personality and welcoming smile. His every waking minute is consumed with worry, anxiety, fear, and depression. His life will never be one that he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. This is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20-plus years of life. The fact that he now has to register as a sexual offender for the rest of his life forever alters where he can live, visit, work, and how he will be able to interact with people and organizations. Now, as disturbing as that is, as hideous as that is, apparently it worked because Judge Persky gave the rapist 6 months in county jail with 3 years of probation. And actually, Santa Clara is trying to recall Judge Persky, recall him as a judge. These are the same rape apologists, victim-diminishing subhumans that are allowing sexual assaults to take place across colleges everywhere, across high schools everywhere, and they're just blaming it as, well, it's just boys being boys. I don't know what your beliefs are about heaven and hell, and I don't want to get too religious here on the Daily Dose, but if there's a hell, the rapist, the father of the rapist, and the judge who gave the rapist leniency are all going to be there. And it's going to be hot. But yeah, I guess Dan Turner, best defender, I guess. Let's move on. NBA moment of the year. You know, the NBA, crazy year. We talked about it a little bit over the past few weeks with what happened with the Warriors and their run that they went on, with the comeback that the Cavaliers had. Let's take a look back at the NBA moment of the year. One of the biggest, and you know, when you think about these moments, I guess I just try to picture the image that comes to mind when I look back at the season. And this first nominee is definitely one of the images that come to mind. LeBron James blocks the layup of Andre Iguodala in Game 7. Remember, there were just under 2 minutes left to play. Iguodala had an open layup. The game was tied. It would have given the Warriors a lead. James comes across. Had to be probably 12 feet in the air with the tip of his fingers. Pins the shot to the glass. Held on to the tie, and then the Cavs would eventually hit a three and win the championship. So, that's definitely a defining moment in the NBA this year. Our next nominee, we talked about a little bit earlier, Los Angeles Lakers Kobe Bryant scores 60 points in his final game. So that's definitely a moment of the year. And then our third nominee, Cleveland Cavaliers guard Kyrie Irving hits the three-point shot to give the Cavs their first championship in 52 years. Those are all very, very good nominations. I like those, and I do think they are kind of moments that we're going to remember from the season. So what is our winner for Dosey Award for NBA Moment of the Year? The NBA gives LeBron James a pretend technical after Game 4. Well, I don't know if that needed to be the winner. Yes, he kind of got tangled up with Draymond Green, and then Adam Silver, in all his wisdom, suspended Draymond Green for not wanting to get stepped on and then gave LeBron James a technical that literally had no meaning or no bearing whatsoever. It just said it like a technical. The point of the technical is that you get free throws and you get the ball, but I don't know what the point of that was. Let's move on. Best comeback. What do you do when the chips are down? Do you quit and go away, or do you find a way to use some dumb sports cliches to motivate yourself and just find a way to win? Here are the nominees for best comeback in sports this year. This was a big one. You remember the National Basketball Tournament. Syracuse comes from as many down as 14 to beat Virginia in the Elite Eight of the College Basketball National Tournament. Syracuse actually went on a 20-2 run in the second half to come back. Pretty amazing run that Syracuse went on late. The Valero Alamo Bowl. Not sure if you remember this one, but the Oregon Ducks were up 31 at halftime. And then TCU quarterback Brad Kohlhausen ended up throwing for 351 yards. He scored four touchdowns as the Horned Frogs came back and actually won 47-41. They were down 31 at half, came back to win 47-41 in triple overtime. Definitely a big comeback there. And our third nominee, the University of Northern Iowa. Yeah, I remember this one. They led Texas A&M by 12. With just 35 seconds left. Game was over. This is finished. A&M finished on a 14-0 run, came back and won 92-88 in double overtime in the college basketball tournament. That's definitely a big one. So what do we have here for best comeback? There's definitely some good ones. Best comeback, Mrs. Tavares Jackson, for when her husband pulled a gun and said, "I'll kill you," and she replied, "You better be accurate because you ain't accurate on the field." Well, I don't know if that's the kind of comeback we're looking for is the problem. I don't know who put that one in there, but I don't think that's the kind of yes, it's a good comeback. Like that's a great line. But Mrs. Tavares Jackson won. She already won an award. That's not the kind of comeback we were looking for, but I understand it. Let's go on. Let's go on to Driver of the Year. Driver of the Year. Sure, I don't know if you're really an athlete, but we're going to give you an award anyways because while we probably should give the award to the car, the car's not going to really appreciate it. So let's take a look at Driver of the Year this year. We don't talk a ton of auto racing. We've talked a little bit about auto racing this year, but let's take a look at Driver of the Year. First off, Lewis Hamilton. Dude won his third Drivers' Championship and won 10 of the 19 Formula One races this past season. He's already off to a good start this year. Lewis Hamilton, definitely one of the best drivers on the planet. NASCAR's Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch won his first ever NASCAR Cup Championship in 2015. He had 5 wins. He had 16 top 10 finishes, and that's despite the fact he only raced in 25 of the 36 races. He missed a ton of races. But, like the NBA, NASCAR, of course, found a way to get him into the chase and kind of manipulate that a little bit. So Kyle Busch, yeah, he's up for Driver of the Year. He could win a Dosey. Alexander Rossi, the 24-year-old driver, he joined the IndyCar circuit just this past year in 2016 after spending his last 2 years running that GP2 and the Formula One series, started 11th at the Indy 500. Somehow, Alexander Rossi kind of outsmarted everyone. I don't know that he was that fast that day at the 500, but Alexander Rossi won the Indianapolis 500 as a rookie. So yeah, he definitely is up there for Driver of the Year. Let's see who wins our Dosey Award. Los Angeles Rams running back Trey Mason, who was arrested in Miami in March. Apparently, Mason was doing over 70 in a 35 zone in his Porsche, which, by the way, reeked of weed. Mason refused to stop for police and only did so when a police vehicle blocked the road in front of him. Then he refused to state who he was and he refused to get out of the car. So the Hollywood, Florida Police Department sort of tasered Mason and arrested him for possession of marijuana, reckless driving, failure to register a motor vehicle, and resisting arrest. I don't know if he should win the Driver of the Year, but it is kind of weird that like guys like this, I don't know if they're thinking like, well, maybe if I just don't stop and I don't get out of the car, they'll just leave me alone and just let me go. Like it is an odd way of thinking, but I don't know if Trey Mason should win Driver of the Year for that, but I guess in Daily Dose world, he does. Let's head on to the greatest coaching performance. Who could win the Dosey Award for greatest coaching performance? A coach is someone who tells you what you don't want to hear. They see what you don't want to see so that you can be who you have always known you could be. Who could be our greatest coach? What is the greatest coaching performance to win a Dosey Award this year? First nomination, Nick Saban with Alabama. You realize he led Alabama to their 16th national championship? And I mean, some of those, they actually even won instead of like some of them, they just say they won and they didn't really win. But like some of those, they did actually win. So I mean, that's pretty impressive. Jay Wright at Villanova. led the Villanova Wildcats to their first national championship in college basketball since Raleigh Massimino. Remember Raleigh back in the day, back in the 80s, led that cocaine-snorting group of players? They played at the top of their game back then. It was like they were, like, I don't know, super focused or like really intense or something, but Raleigh Massimino back then, Jay Wright today, Jay Wright, definitely. The job he did at Villanova was amazing. And then Gino Auriemma, we spoke about him earlier, the head coach at UConn, somehow, I don't know how he does it, patched together his 11th championship with, well, like the greatest players in the entire country. I don't know how he does it, but Gino Auriemma, definitely great coaching performance this year. So our winner for greatest coaching performance for the Dosi Award goes to Los Angeles Lakers coach Byron Scott for getting 60 out of Kobe in his final game. We're not giving an award to Byron Scott. Stop. That had to have come from John. There's no way we're giving a Byron Scott a Dosi Award. He didn't win anything. The stuff I have to put up with when I do this show. Like last year, we went through some of these things, and this year, we're going through them again. It's frustrating is what I'm saying. I get frustrated. I'm trying not to take it on you, the audience, because I know you, the audience. You're tuning in. You're trying to hear a good award show, but sometimes we get nonsense mixed in. Let's move on. College basketball moment of the year. You know, there's no better time of the year, I've told you, than March Madness, because March Madness always lives up to the hype. Like, we hype March Madness. We hype it like the Super Bowl or the World Series or the bowl games. The only difference is March Madness is actually, entertaining, and it actually is good, and there's actually big games. There's the season is really long. March Madness is really all we watch, but March Madness every year is really, really, really good. Let's take a look at some of the greatest moments. College basketball moment of the year. First nominee, gotta be Villanova versus North Carolina. Championship finish. First, Carolina, Marcus Page, he hits that circus shot. Remember the three-pointer with 5 seconds left? Kind of a double clutch shot. And then Chris Jenkins, they come down. Nova comes down the other way. Chris Jenkins buries the game winner at the buzzer. If you don't remember, here's something from CBS Sports to spark your memory a little bit.
We had the hot hand from three in the first half. They're going to have to do something from the outside now. It's Page off balance. Puts it up.
Of course, that was the first shot, taken by Marcus Page. But take a listen to the second shot that was the game winner.
With Archie Diacono, 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
That was a pretty amazing finish. You kind of forget. Remember when Chris Jenkins hits that shot, the guy in the building launched the fireworks. You heard those big explosions. Launched those fireworks. We didn't even know if the shot was going to count, but he had launched those. So that's definitely a play that should be up there for college basketball moment of the year. Probably one of the most memorable moments that I can think of. What else is on our list here? Let's see. Northern Iowa player Paul Jesperson hit a half-court shot to beat Texas in the first round of the tournament. Northern Iowa had led by as many as 16, but Texas had rallied late to tie the game, and there was just less than 3 seconds left. You might remember this call from CBS Sports as well.
Even at 72, 2.7 left. Last chance for the Panthers.
And he said he wouldn't take a timeout in this situation.
Jesperson, half-court heave for the win. Jesperson knows it! 75-72.
Another huge play that you kind of forget about until you hear it again, but March Madness just always is great to have those kind of moments. Our final nominee for college basketball moment of the game, Wisconsin beat number 2 Xavier on back-to-back three-pointers from guard Bronson Koenig. Remember, he hit the one way high at the top of the key with just 14 seconds left, and then he hit another one with just a few seconds left to beat Xavier. You might remember this one as well from CBS Sports.
Here we go. 2 to go. Trip to the Sweet 16. Koenig's got it. Rises up. The shot. And it's good! It's good! Wisconsin has won it!
Yeah, and that's another one that really does go back. You remember those shots that he hit, that one as he was falling into the bench. Pretty amazing run that Wisconsin went on. They got to the Sweet 16 on that shot. So who's our winner? Who would be our winner for college basketball moment of the year? Winner is Duke guard Grayson Allen gets to trip people, and it's fine with the NCAA. That's not a college basketball moment. Yes. Duke guard Grayson Allen, he a few times now has been found guilty of tripping people, and the NCAA doesn't do anything, and Duke doesn't do anything. I don't think that should have won anything. That probably was sent to us by Rob. I don't know, but that shouldn't have won. That shouldn't have been the winner. One of those shots. I think the shot, the Villanova shot on Carolina, I think that's it. Let's move forward. Parent of the year. Few people could be up for parent of the year. I mean, we already talked about Dan Turner, bang up job he's doing as a parent. But you know, we like to point out a lot of the negatives in sports. We look at the parents who aren't doing their best jobs, but here at the Daily Dose, we like to dwell on positives. So here are our nominees for the Dosey Award Best Parent of the Year. First nominee, Peyton Manning. I mean, Peyton Manning's got to be on the list. He allowed his wife to take some HGH so she could get pregnant. And let's be honest, parenting is all about sacrifice, folks. Michael Thompson, father of Golden State Warriors guard Klay Thompson, who said that the current day Warriors would beat the 80s Showtime Lakers, despite the fact they couldn't even beat the current day Cleveland Cavaliers. Slow down, Michael. But I understand he's supporting, you know, what Klay's doing. Our third nominee, former Cincinnati Bengals, current Houston Texans defensive lineman Devin Still, who is working very, very hard to try to keep his daughter, Leah, overcoming cancer and all the battles that she's been going through. Yeah, he definitely should be on there for Parent of the Year. Winner, our Daily Dose winner for Parent of the Year, Delonte West gives his son, LeBron James, a big hug after the Cavs win the championship. I don't think Delonte West, for one, Delonte West is not LeBron James' dad. That doesn't count. I don't know what's going on between Delonte and LeBron's mom, but that's not a winner. He's not. I'm giving it to Devin Still. We're not giving it to Delonte West. He's not even LeBron's. He's like younger than LeBron James. He's not his dad. Idiots. I'm telling you, sometimes working here at the Dose is not as easy as it looks. Okay, let's move on to something we can all get behind. An award we can all, you know, treasure. American Soccer Moment of the Year. You know, this was going to be Soccer Moment of the Year. I mean, come on, it's soccer. We don't really care that much. So we're just going to go American Soccer Moment of the Year. There's only a few moments to choose from, I would think. First nominee, the USA men beat Costa Rica in the Copa American Tournament 4-0 and advanced to the Copa quarterfinals. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, we don't get behind our soccer that much over here, but you get a big tournament, Copa or the World Cup or like the Olympics, and we kind of get excited. They beat, Costa Rica. I don't. What does Costa Rica have? Like, I don't know, 100 people living there or something. But hey, we won, so we were excited about that. Here was another big moment of the year, and I like this one. The USA women's team filed a wage discrimination action against the U.S. Soccer Federation. The filing, citing figures from USSF's 2015 financial report, says that despite the women's team generating nearly $20 million more revenue than the men's team, they're actually paid about a quarter of what the men earn. So yeah, I can support that. That's definitely a big moment in American soccer this year. And our third nominee, Team USA getting crushed by Argentina and failed to generate a single shot in the Copa American semifinal game. I watched that game, and Argentina's playing a different game. Like, I don't know what we're playing. I know we were told that's soccer. That didn't look like soccer to me. That looked like a completely different game than what Argentina. I don't know if it's a good moment, but I understand it being on the list. So our winner of American Soccer Moment of the Year is, pointing and laughing at Argentina when they lost to Chile in the Copa American final against, they do actually care about soccer, so I guess we can point and laugh at Argentina a little bit after they whooped us, but that's just how much we care about soccer, and that is to say, we don't. Okay, best closer. Who can finish the game when it's on the line? Who can step up in the face of failure? There's a lot of pressure there. Everybody's, you know, it's kind of like the big stage. Best closer, who finishes it? Who closes it out and gets it done when they have to? Our Dosey Award nominees for best closer. First nominee, LeBron James. hey, he brought a title to Cleveland. And last I checked, science had said that was completely impossible. So yeah, LeBron James definitely gets a nominee vote for the best closer. Second nominee goes to Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning. Playing on no legs, I think he was literally being carried around in a bucket. He still somehow managed to win a Super Bowl in his final game. So I guess he's, you know, one of the top closers. And our third nominee, Kobe Bryant. Yeah, he was horrible the past five seasons, but did you see that one game against that one awful team, that one night when everyone agreed to just let him keep shooting and see, I don't know, maybe one of those shots will go in? So, yeah, I guess Kobe Bryant goes on the list. This seems like a pretty easy win for LeBron James to be. Best closer, LeBron closed out, you know, Golden State. This seems like a pretty easy win. Our closer award winner, Jerry West. Golden State executive, he barely let LeBron get done with his parade before luring Kevin Durant to Golden State and make the Warriors the favorites to win it all again. Now if we can just keep Adam Silver from suspending Durant for being a grown man that still carries a backpack. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to suspend Durant for carrying a backpack, but they're going to probably suspend him for something because that's what the NBA does. If it's close, we know. Yeah, I'm Jerry West. He closes the deal. I mean, I give an award to Jerry West. I don't have a problem with him winning an award. He is a closer. I guess he can go in there. All right, we're getting down to our final Dosey Award winner. I would like to thank you all for joining us, but we now get, you know, we talk about it all the time. The NFL is the big dog of the sports world. I mean, people would rather watch the NFL pick teams in the draft than they would watch other teams play like their championships. Pro football players are modern-day gladiators. And we love pro football. You can just, a Thursday night game, we're watching. We don't care. Like, pro football is it. So our final Dosey Award category, NFL Moment of the Year. Here are the nominees for the final award of the year. First nominee, yeah, it's got to be Super Bowl 50. The underdog Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers. You know, they held the NFL's top offense to just 10 points. And like we talked about earlier, sent Peyton Manning out as a Super Bowl champion in his final game. That's definitely a huge moment this past year. Another moment. Pittsburgh Steelers versus Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC wild card. You know, that was a bizarre game and definitely a memorable one. Cincinnati had that one-point lead. They had the ball. There was only a minute and 30 left to play. They were in Pittsburgh territory. And somehow, the Cincinnati Bengals, like, went all Cincinnati on everybody. First, they fumbled the ball. Then they had back-to-back 15-yard penalties, put the Steelers in field goal range. The Steelers kick the field goal and walk out of there wondering how they just won the game. I mean, yeah, that's definitely that's award material right there. Definitely a memorable moment. Pro football memorable moment of the year. When you're thinking back, that's definitely one of the moments of the year. Our third nominee, Bill Belichick, proves how smart he is by electing to kick off at the start of overtime in week 16. I don't know if you remember this one, but you know, the Patriots won the coin toss. And Belichick, the coach that has been called by many like the greatest, the smartest in history, he chose to kick off instead of taking the ball. Remember, you do have Tom Brady. You do have the quarterback that is considered by most to be, I mean, many people say he's the greatest quarterback in history. He's the greatest quarterback to ever walk the planet. Instead, the Patriots chose to kick off, and the New York Jets drove 80 yards to win the game, clinch a playoff berth, and knock the Patriots from the top seed in the NFL. You know, they then had to go to Denver instead of hosting the AFC Championship. And of course, they came to Denver, lost a close game, which kind of just goes to show, as much as we think we know about sports, for all the grand proclamations we make, this player's the best, this coach is the best, we're all just kind of guessing. And every single game we're watching is true reality TV because we don't have any idea what's going to happen next. Yeah, I mean, you know, Broncos in the Super Bowl, Steelers, Bengals, Belichick, you know, being dumb. What could our winner be for NFL Moment of the Year? Winner is Arizona Cardinals versus Green Bay Packers NFL divisional playoff game. The Green Bay Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, threw not one, but two Hail Marys but the Cardinals still found a way to win 26-20 in overtime. And more importantly, they gave us this clip in the process.
Nuestra carga el equipo de Green Bay, quita de que le entregue el balón a su corredor, Carson Palmer, a comprar tiempo, a lanzar, cruzado, de derecha a izquierda, atrapa Larry Fitzgerald en la 35, Larry de pie en la 50, Larry de pie en la 20, Larry de pie en la 10, Larry de pie en la 5, Larry, 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 Fitzgerald. Espectacular ganancia de millones de yardas. El balón en la 5. Movimiento de John Smokey Brown. Una pichadita en corto para Larry. Larry atrapa en la 5. Larry se cuela en la zona. Touchdown. Arizona. Pichada en corto. 5 yardas. ¡Se lo merecía! ¡Larry, Larry, 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 Larry! ¡Fitzgerald, el héroe del partido!
That call courtesy of Arizona Cardinals Spanish Radio. And what a great way to end up the second annual Daily Dose Dosey Awards. I hope that you enjoyed them. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, next week, I told you, we're going to keep you entertained during this, you know, kind of different, this kind of difficult, this kind of dry time of year. I have something special again for you next week. You are not going to want to miss another very special edition of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. If you are listening and enjoying the show, please go to wherever it is that you download, wherever you listen, wherever you subscribe, and leave just a quick 5-star rating. It helps us so much, and it helps a few more people see us. And as I've told you before, the bigger this gets, the better this gets. If you get a chance, head over to rogueintel.com. Check out the other podcasts that are over there. Check out our forum. Feel free to leave a message for us on our forum. Hey, tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell a relative, tell somebody that they got to check out the Daily Dose Dosey Awards. It might be worth their time checking it out. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Thanks for tuning in to the second annual Dosey Awards show. I will see you all next week.